Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, friends, to today's episode. So appreciative of each and every one of you, and I mean that. I know we have an eclectic audience. We have some young people that listen, and that means the world to me. We have some retired ones listening. We've got some commuters that are listening. We've got some families that are listening all together. So however you're listening, wow, thanks for tuning in. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 10, as you probably know, and we are in verse number 8. So Samuel is completing this conversation on the roadside. He's walked Saul out of town. He said, Saul, some amazing things are going to happen. You're going to see God's confirmation, and you're going to do some things that you never thought you would do. Like, you're going to sing and praise God, and I know it seems really odd, but you're going to become a brand new person, Saul, and these things are going to take place. Verse number 8, and thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. So, kind of a random thing here, but God has told Saul, go here, go here, go here. This is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. But then end up in Gilgal and just wait there. Well, what do you make of just that season of waiting?
You know, as I see here what happens with Samuel and Saul, one thing that pops in my mind right away is that this is not going to be a long time. I mean, we're talking about just a few days here. And I think what a stark contrast to David's life, where David is anointed, it will be years before he ever is proclaimed king publicly. But this is going to be pretty quick. This is not like, we're not talking like months even here. This is just days where you know God's going to do this. Okay, then you go and you wait for me. But this is a week later, things are going to move quickly here and Saul's life is going to change.
And notice what happens. Wait for me. You know, I don't want you to, there's some other things that need to unfold here. Ironically, Saul got himself into big trouble a little bit later on when he didn't wait for Samuel, remember?
Yes.
With the battle with the Amalekites, and he was supposed to have wiped them out, and he did not. He didn't wait for Samuel. He took it upon himself to offer those sacrifices. And so I think it's important that when God says, go, go, when God says, wait, wait. Hmm. And Saul was to wait here, and at the end of that waiting, they were going to worship God together through sacrifices. Peace offerings were specifically voluntary offerings to God to worship and to praise him. In other words, Saul, before we go public with this thing, I want to make sure that we really have entered into a time of deliberation, a time of mutual praising and worshiping God together. This was a solemn thing. Let's make sure that we're going to this big responsibility having gone to the altar first.
It is interesting that we really don't know all the details of what does happen here. As you mentioned, as the verse mentions, there are sacrifices being made. I wonder what all Samuel told Saul specifically when they did meet. You know, they're going to go wait at Gilgal, make sacrifices there, and they're going to go to another town down the road where they're going to gather people together to, you know, anoint him publicly. But this is going to happen pretty quickly. But I wonder what happened there. I don't know the answer to that. But clearly, as you mentioned, I'm sure that Samuel talked with Saul and told him some things about what God was at work doing in his life.
There are certain places that evoke certain thoughts, certain historical realities. We live in the shadow of Washington, D.C., here in Fredericksburg, Virginia. And you can't help but think about our founding fathers and think about some of the great events of our nation's history when you go to a place like Washington, D.C. Well, the Bible says that God told Saul through Samuel to go to Gilgal. Gilgal was the camp where the people of God had crossed the Jordan River. They had set those stones. No doubt those stones were still there. Those stones, when Joshua had crossed, to say, this is God, this is the land that God has given. This is my land. This is the land that I have promised you. There are battles to fight. There are victories to win. But this was the first camp. And I wonder if that time of waiting was not a time for Saul to just deliberate, to think, man, I'm here. Each one of these stones, maybe he went to the Benjamin stone and looked at that stone and thought, one of my forebears, you know, put this stone here. And wow, I have a big responsibility. Sometimes we need to stop and think and meditate and take it in and realize that our life, our calling, and our service is but a small little line segment on a much longer line of what God is doing generationally.
You know, I do think, Pastor, you mentioned about places that are historical, that have a solemnity to them and cause us to think. Of course, I live here in Fredericksburg, Virginia, a lot of Civil War battlefields around here. And I have a battlefield pretty close to my house. My wife and I often go out there and drive and walk. And often as I go through there, I'll stop and I'll just think about the solemnity of that place, what happened there, you know, 150 years ago, basically, and how people were dying for what they believed. And this would have been a different scenario, obviously, with Saul. But as you mentioned, this was a great place of victory for the people of Israel. And this should have had an important, momentous occasion for Saul as he waits for Samuel to come.
Yeah, they're at Gilgal. I mean, that's where they kind of recommissioned themselves. That's where the manna had stopped. The water had been parted. I mean, this was a great meditative spot for Saul. Look at verse number 9. And it was so. So now the teaching is over. Samuel has given this advice and this direction to Saul. The Bible says in verse 9, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. So in other words, the very first step of obedience. So Samuel said all these things, and Samuel's going to go back to town. Saul's going to go on the journey just described. And when he made the very first step, God gave him a new heart. And that's just like our God. You know, he meets us at the place of obedience. He meets us at the place of inception. And God does the work that the prophet could not do. I mean, Samuel was a great man. Samuel was a great mentor. Samuel gave great advice, but Samuel had no power to do anything on the inside. Only God could do that work.
You know, and it does remind us, as you showed us, Pastor, just talked about this, that Samuel gave Saul the instruction, but Saul had to obey. But as soon as he did, and we find the same principle throughout the Word of God, when people take a step of obedience, how that God works in their life. I think whenever Israel crossed the Jordan River, when they came over from the east side of the Jordan River, and when the priests were about to step in the water, you know, we find that the waters part. God is doing things in our life, but we have to use our volition, our will to submit to him, as we've been talking about. But God works miraculously in the life of Saul, like he does in the heart of anybody when he changes their heart.
God gave him another heart. All those signs came to pass that day. And when they came hither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met them. So here we go with those prophets. They met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Just what God said. I'm going to make you, give you another heart, which he had. I'm going to turn you into another man. So here's Saul. And if you knew Saul and saw him out there in that choir singing and prophesying and, you know, getting religion, so to speak, you would just be incredulous.
Yeah, this was just so hard to believe for the people, because this was not Saul's testimony. And it reminds me, you know, of Amazing Grace, the song. You know, the author of that song was not known as a great man of God, but God worked in his heart, and he was a great testimony now to what God had done in his life and who God is. And Paul, in a degree, people are going to see that in Saul's life as he is doing things they would never expect him to do.
And is it not interesting that this is first in Saul's behavior as a newly anointed king? We look at some jobs inherently as spiritual jobs, like he's going to be a pastor and he's going to be an evangelist, a missionary. And then we look at other jobs as being primarily secular. Well, you don't really have to be spiritual to do that. And yet we see no such dichotomy in Scripture, that when God selected this king, the very first requisite of kingship was a man that loved God, a man that was walking with God, a man that was worshiping God, a man who had a heart bent toward the things of God.
You know, and I don't get too far ahead of ourselves here, Pastor, but I love chapter 11. We see Saul serving God. Just to touch upon what you just said, you know, when Saul gets anointed, his first job is not building a palace. His first job is he just does what he knows what he does. He just goes and does life like he has been doing life. And so, you know, becoming a king was not instantly, you know, just glamorous for him, but he was faithful in what he knew. And so it is in our life as we follow God.
Look at verse number 11. And it came to pass when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that has come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? So they said, we could never envision him doing something like this. Now, the Bible has already told us at the beginning of last chapter that Kish was a mighty man. Kish was known for his power and for his might and maybe even for his wealth. But he was not known as being, it was not known as being a spiritual family. And so here is kind of like this, we would say today, the star athlete, you know, head and shoulders above the crowd. But he's got a great future in, you know, anything that involves military or strength. But we see a different side of him now that only God can do.
You know, it is amazing to see how God does change his heart. You know, it also reminds me how that I've read missionary stories before, other stories, biographies, as I'm sure you have, Pastor. And sometimes these people who are the star athletes, who are the rich people, you know, they shouldn't go to the mission field. They're just going to waste their life, they think. No, but we should do whatever God wants us to do and what God calls us to do. And God's going to call Saul to be the king. And Saul needs to follow God in doing that. And so Saul may not have been a guy who really was associated with following God much in the past or praising God or preaching the word of God. But he needs to change directions and do what God has him for.
God is doing just what he said. He's making him, he's made him a different person. Matter of fact, the Bible says in verse 12 that one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? In other words, who is their father? Who the father of these prophets? In other words, the fact that they have this heart for God isn't something that is genetic. It's not something that's human. It's obviously something that God has done. And therefore, it became a proverb. Is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. And here is interesting because, and I want to get to this because we only have a minute or two left, but this is going to be Saul's first encounter with somebody he knows after he knows that he's been anointed, after he's become this different person. And Saul's uncle said unto him and to his servant, whither went ye? Where you guys been? And he said, we went looking for the donkeys. And when we saw that they were nowhere, we came to Samuel, thought maybe he could help us out. Well, that is what they did. Saul's uncle said, tell me, I pray you, what Samuel said. Okay, you went to Samuel. Well, what did Samuel say? Now, Samuel said a whole lot of things, but it's interesting what Saul tells his uncle. And Saul said unto his uncle, he told us plainly that the donkeys were found. But of the matter of the kingdom, wherefore Samuel spake, he told him not. You know, the flesh, pride, that's the first thing I'd want to say. Well, you have no clue. Do you know who you're talking to now? I'm the new king. I mean, would you ever think about that? And he said, this would happen. And I'd get this many pieces of bread. And I mean, you can't even, he told nothing. He had great restraint to say, we took care of the donkeys were found. This was not yet the time for this to be revealed publicly.
And I think how that really, to me, as I look at this, Pastor, in chapter 10, 11, Saul starts out so well.
He does.
Because you're right. I mean, most people, they'd be all too glad to post this on Facebook, you know, Instagram. Hey, look what's happening to me. Now, this is, God's this going to happen. This all happened. But he does have wisdom in delaying and not just, you know, blabbing everything. He's going to wait on Samuel for this to unfold.
Let another man's lips praise thee and not thine own, a stranger. And not thine own lips. And we have to learn that. Saul was honored of God at this stage in his life because he was humble. And before honor is humility. And Saul, as we shall see, boy, he had a big fall eventually because pride crept in. Well, that's all the time we have for today, so I'll let you go. We're going to jump right into verse number 17 next episode. Hope you'll join us for that. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.